Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power!
Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song,
good afternoon,
the road would never
Phoenix
end.
And all points west.
When East, things go
north
wrong,
and south, for that matter. Hey, gang. Welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. And we have a song. We have several of them. What's happening, Eric?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, man. It's good to be here, and it's good to see you here on the other side of the glass.
Good to be here myself.
Hey, gang. Welcome to Thursday, October 30th. The month is flying by. Just flying by. We have a beautiful day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona, and I hope you're having one wherever you may be all around the world. I mean, the Power Hour is truly universal right now, Eric. I mean, after our very first show, we got emails literally from around the world, from South Florida, from the Ecuador, from Europe and Asia. I mean, people have been watching the website and trying to find out when we're going to be back on the air, as it were, and people were just waiting, so we're back. And we've brought with us some friends. My man, George Benson. Turn him up there, yes.
I'll get along.
You know, I can't have a show on very long without having just a teeny bit of George, because that man is so talented. We just think of him primarily as a guitarist, you know. Well, not just a guitarist, only the greatest guitarist in the world, but you know, his voice is amazing. The range and the possibilities are just amazing. So we couldn't go too far into the Power Hour without having a little George Benson, along with the Count Basie Orchestra, our guest, musical guest host today on the Power Hour. We're so glad to have him. You know, George lives right here in Phoenix, actually in Paradise Valley, only about a couple blocks from me. Did you know that, Eric?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he is. He lives right here in town, and unfortunately, that's how we actually got to be friends, and that worked out pretty well. I wish someone would get that phone. Oh, my goodness, it never fails. All right, we got a great show on tap for you guys today. I mean, a great show on tap. We're going to pick up exactly where we left off last week, where we were talking about how you can tap your most precious resource and tell you how to think like a winner. Of course, we got a nice monologue on tap for you, but always first on our agenda are the shout outs. And normally we give a shout out right off the bat to the fabulous Natasha, but we can't do that today. You know why? Because she's here in the studio with us. What's up, fabulous Natasha?
Hello, I'm back.
She's back. And more fabulous than ever. You know what? People tell me, they ask me all the time, exactly who is the fabulous Natasha? So, well, you know what? She's a mystery. We want to keep her the mystery lady. We don't know too much about her, but you do know she is fabulous. Would you say she's fabulous, Eric? Do you think she's fabulous?
Yeah, I'd go all the way to fabulous.
Would you go all the way to fabulous?
I'd go all the way there.
Yeah. All the way to fabulous, right here, live and in person. People think, you know, like we've got her recorded or something, but she's right here in the studio with us. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing fabulous.
Yeah, of course you are. Oh, well, you certainly look fabulous. What color do you call that dress you're wearing today? What is that?
It's navy blue.
Is it? It looks fabulous.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. See, I've got it working like that, gang. I can have the fabulous Natasha right here in studio with me. And shout outs also go to Ray out there in Southern California and Albert down in Southern South Florida. I guess they go South FLA, and Mark right here in Phoenix. And of course, Nick and the boys up in Denver. always got to keep shout. If you want to get a shout out, or you want to talk to me, give me a message, a note, just send me an email to 7, S-E-V-E-N, the number 7 spelled out, and send it to 7@macnewton.com. I will get it. Just a couple emails we got in our first week, Eric. This is kind of shocking to me. I thought we'd be talking to just empty airways out there, just putting in our obligation of establishing a first show, but people were listening.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, it was fabulous. I was so excited to see that. Well, listen, every Thursday right here at 5 o'clock, you tune in live to talk to the fabulous Natasha and myself and Eric with the Power Hour, and then that show will be uploaded almost immediately on the website so that you can share it with your friends and family members, or just review it again. In fact, I got an email from a listener in Ecuador. Let me see if I can find this email here. And he was saying that he, let's see, what does he say here? Okay. He says, he goes, oh, he has a question. Where are the archives of the Power Hour? He says, because there are only two shows that are active right now, and he listens to them every day. He would like to listen to more of those. Those are the kind of emails you want to get. People who are thirsting for knowledge and thirsting for inspiration, and they look to the Power Hour for it, which is exactly what we're trying to do here. We're trying to provide a way for people who are looking to get more out of life, more out of themselves, and they realize that they have potential and they want to reach it. They want to go after it. Well, you know, the internet is, among all of, it's a lot of things, but of course, one of the things it is an avenue to inspiration. It's an avenue for knowledge. A lot of good information is stored there. And the Power Hour is one of those things. Every Thursday here, 5 o'clock, www.macnewton.com is the Power Hour. All right. So anyway, we got a couple other emails here to share with you real quickly. Mark here in Phoenix, he says, as I often do, I stopped by your website today for a little motivation and found you back on the air. Wow. Just received that shot of positive motivation that we're known for here on the Power Hour. Glad you're back on the air and looking forward to listening to the radio show in the future. Well, Mark, thanks for the email, and we're really looking forward to bringing it to you. Ray, who we sent a shout out to last week, thanked us for the shower out. He said he felt so honored and liked the fact that we used his email in our first show. So anyway, want to say thanks and so glad we're back. His birthday was 2 weeks ago Saturday, and he made a great birthday present. So happy belated birthday to you, Ray, and he can't wait for the next show. Well, you're here and we're on. He says, we're the best. Well, I appreciate that. So anyways, get your emails coming. We may not get an answer back to them, but we might share some of the more compelling or interesting ones on the air. And at least you'll make your thoughts known to me. And if you have a topic you'd like to have me address, just send it along to 7, S-E-V-E-N, at macnewton.com. All right. You know, as I said to you earlier, we're going to start off our show by talking about, you know, winners, how to be a winner, how to think like a winner, how to talk like a winner, how to sound and act like a winner. Because, you know, winners have certain behavioral characteristics, and so do losers, for that matter. I think that people can sort of establish their own level of achievement in life by the things they choose to think about. My great-grandma always used to say that she could smile carrying burdens, loads that would make me cry. I wasn't always sure what that meant. I mean, maybe it meant that I was soft and what I thought was hard really wasn't. Maybe it meant that I expected things to always go smoothly, and when they didn't, well, I pouted. Whatever it meant, I guess there was a perspective on hard that I was missing out on. And my assistant, Lisa, she has a 5-year-old son, Adrian, with an extreme form of autism. In addition to working for me, she also holds a second full-time job, takes care of her family, and deals with every autistic flare-up with her son, and smiles all the time through it all. Oh, and did I mention she's also 9 months pregnant? Maybe that's what great-grandma meant when she said she could smile carrying loads that would make me cry. Well, So can Lisa, obviously. Great-grandma and Lisa have two major character traits in common. They believe in themselves, and they are extremely resilient in the face of life's adversities. In addition, they see themselves as valuable, worthwhile, and well-equipped to cope with the challenges and troubles that arise in our personal lives or in our careers. In short, they are both positive examples of people with genuine high levels of self-esteem. They like themselves a lot. And great-grandma made it clear to me that she liked herself a lot, and Lisa thinks she's fabulous. People with low self-esteem crumble. Eric, they crumble in the face of negative events. They just fall to pieces, Natasha, facing problems that people with high self-esteem are just going to tackle head-on and smash. Let me emphasize that people with low self-esteem want to avoid pain far more than they want to experience joy. Why is that? Well, I think I know the answer. They haven't learned that the pain is unavoidable. That's right. The pain in life is unavoidable. But the suffering, well, that's optional. To be sure, make no mistake about it, the suffering is optional. To believe in yourself means that you can deal with short-term pain in order to get long-term gain. By trying to avoid the pain, sometimes what you do is you can set up a short-term gain, but eventually you will experience long-term pain. Are you old enough to remember the old black and white movie? I don't know if you are, Eric, but certainly I am, in which an old beaten fighter played by Marlon Brando, he wailed into the camera, and his character, he was saying, "I could have been a contender. I could have been a contender." He was suffering. And the feeling that he could have been something that he now knew in that moment he would never be. He was suffering. And that's optional. If you don't believe in yourself or your own self-reliance, your neighborhood, the world, the universe is a very scary place. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great American philosopher and poet, wrote, "It is easy in the world to live after the world's opinion. It is easy in solitude to live after your own." For these reasons, I have come to think about high levels of self-esteem as the immune system of the mind. Just as we have an immune system of the body, a highly conditioned body, it leads to a healthy physical immune system. And high self-esteem leads to a feeling of personal power, a feeling that you're simply better equipped to deal, to cope with adversity. In other words, you have a can-do attitude. Even if you have a healthy immune system, it doesn't mean that you're never going to get sick, but it does help you not to get sick as often. And when you do get sick, you get over it and you bounce back quick. It's the same with people with high self-esteem. This immune system of the mind, I call it. It allows us to overcome adversity. It allows us to transcend depression and to stay positive in the midst of the most challenging of circumstances. In other words, high self-esteem people can certainly be knocked down by any number of a multitude of negative things, but they're very quick to pick themselves up again. So, to my way of thinking, the fact that high self-esteem has more to do with resilience than it does with being impervious to adversity and hard times. Now that needs to be understood better. It has more to do with resilience than it does with being impervious to bad things. That's the confusion I think that people have. The happiest people tend to be able to always see hard times as valuable learning experiences. And they also see them as temporary. And as I said, they pick themselves up quickly. They keep their chins up and they keep a smile on their face. They just know things will improve and that they will emerge from this test a better person and probably better off. As Brian Tracy said to me back in 1988, something that changed my life forever. He said, "Mac, I want you to say, I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself." Over and over and over. and eventually you will overcome all previous negative mental programming. Well, at first I didn't believe it, but, you know, I took his word for it, and I tried it. Well, now, take my word for it. It works. This is the way you build high levels of self-esteem and, of course, at the same time, build the immune system of the mind, and that's the truth. Take my word for it. If you want something that will work for you, if you want something that will help you get well fast, build your mental immune system, and you do it by saying those three words. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. Over and over and over. I took Brian's word for it. It's true. Now you take my word for it. If you guys just tuned in, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour, and we meet here every Thursday at 5 o'clock. We originate from here in Phoenix, but you know what? I love feeling universal, Eric. I feel like I am the universal. I feel a little bit like Bond, you know? James Bond, you know, the universal man of mystery. I feel like, you know, I have a license to inspire. James has a license to kill. I have a license to inspire all over the world. James Bond, but don't call me Jimmy. You have to call me James, or Mr. Bond works. Do you know about James Bond, Natasha?
Oh, I know a lot.
Really?
And you sure look like one.
Really? Bond? Bond. James Bond.
Definitely James Bond.
Well, welcome here to Power Hour. We got, I guess, two guest hosts today. You know, the fabulous George Benson and Bond. James Bond. Shaken, not stirred. Okay. And I want to also send a thanks out to my great-grandma who raised me. You know what? Things can happen to you in the world, Eric, where you think that the world is dealing you a bad hand. But when you look back on it sometime in the future, you find out it was just what you needed. Because I looked at all the kids that grew up around me, and they all had moms and dads, you know, and traditional families, and I always envied them. And all I had was great-grandma, this old lady who raised her daughter, her daughter's daughter, and then her daughter's daughter's son, that was me. And I figured, gee whiz, you know, how could I have a, you know, but I was exposed to this unbelievable wisdom. I mean, I came to think of great-grandma as God. And you know what? When I look at what she's given to me, well, if she's not God, she has firsthand experience in their close friends. That's all I tell you. Thank goodness for a great grandma, and that's the truth. Like I said, you're listening to the Power Hour. We meet every Thursday right here at MacNewton.com, www.MacNewton.com. As I said, our topic for today is how to think like a winner. We're in the midst of, I would say, maybe four or five different parts, all based on this one simple premise: how to tap into your most precious resource. What is your most precious resource? And it's free. It's your brain. We discussed last week, how much would it cost? I asked that question in my class this week. And you know what? Basically, it comes down to being priceless. You can't put a price on your brain. But most people spend it doing, well, a lot of times nothing with it, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then some, 3% of the people in the world do everything, even though their brain is no bigger and no more powerful than the person who does nothing with it. You just have to want. You have to want to do something to make that brain work for you. 3 to 4 pounds of unbelievable memory and power, with between 20 and 40 billion cells that could remember everything that could has ever occurred since the beginning of human history and will ever occur if we could just tap it. That's your most precious resource. How to tap into that. That's what we're talking about today. Over the years, a lot of different research studies have asked this one simple question: what do you think about all the time? They've asked winners, what do they think about? Why? Because they want to know how winners think. They want to know the things that winners think about most of the time. And well, the answers that they were given tend to be the same all over the world. Successful people think about what they want. They think about what they want, and they think about how to get it most of the time. And as a result of this mental focus, focused entirely on the things they want, they accomplish far more than the average person, even though they may have started out with no particular advantages in life. They may not be even as smart as people who accomplish far less. But that answer tells you why they get more. They think about what they want most of the time. They dwell upon it. Now, unsuccessful people, failures, on the other hand, tend to think and talk about what they don't want most of the time. They think about their problems all of the time. They don't understand why their lives don't improve, even though they've been working as long as other successful people. They'll look around and say, well, you know what? I've been working the same length of time that person. Or they're reading a paper of someone who started a company just 5 years ago, and it's doing very, very well, making tens of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. And they'll think, well, gee whiz, I've been working in my business longer than that, and I'm not doing well. Why not? How come they're doing better than me? They don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand why their lives don't improve. They slip into the habit of thinking and talking even more about their problems. And who is to blame? That's what they think about. They think about who's to blame for the stuff that's not working in their life, thereby making their situations worse all of the time. That's the big difference, and they don't understand that. A guy who, Martin Seligman is his name, he did a research study at the University of Pennsylvania. They organized interviews with more than 350,000 men and women. I said it right. 350,000. I didn't say 35,000 or 350. I said 350,000. Well over 250,000 people. Now, this took place over a 20-year period to find out how they thought most of the time. And he wrote a book, and you can go out and buy it. I recommend it. The book is entitled Learned Optimism. The author, Martin Seligman, S-E-L-I-G-M-A-N, Seligman. Now, what Martin found out was that the predominant quality of successful people, the number one quality, is optimism. Successful people are far more optimistic than the average person. They simply expect things to work out well. If you don't know what optimism means, that's what it means. They expect things to turn out well. Negative people, unsuccessful people, are always taking the opposite view. They're always thinking, whatever could go wrong will. My shipment will not arrive on time. The people will not show up. The things they will not have. They're simply negative thinkers. What Martin Seligman found out over a 20-year period of time, interviewing over 350 men and women across this nation, he summarized all of these findings in this book, and he found that the predominant quality of successful people is optimism. Successful people are just more optimistic. They have a positive mental attitude toward themselves. They have a positive mental attitude toward the world they live in, and they have a positive mental attitude around everyone who's around them. And I'll tell you something else about them. They don't hang out with negative people. W. Clement Stone coined the phrase. He called it an inverse paranoid. You ever heard that phrase before, Eric? Never heard of that?
No.
That's a very interesting phrase. You've heard of the word paranoid, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and everyone knows what a paranoid person is. A paranoia, a condition that some people suffer. Basically, that person feels that the world is out to get them. That disaster lurks around every corner, around every turn. Whatever can go wrong will. This person is paranoid. Now, W. Clement Stone, who passed away a year or so ago and was a fabulously successful person, a businessman in Chicago in the insurance business, who was also very, very, very involved in charitable causes and donated millions of dollars. He was a very, very powerful and motivational speaker, very inspirational speaker, I should say. And I had the pleasure of hearing him speak live twice before he passed away. And one of the things I heard him say when he says, I am an inverse paranoid, and I have adopted that phrase. What that means is he sees himself. He sees the world around him. He sees the universe and all the people in the universe as all being part of a grand conspiracy to make him a great success. He says everything that happens is part of this conspiracy, no matter what it looks like when it first happens. Now, can you imagine when you have that kind of attitude, how it's going to affect how you think, how it's going to affect how you approach everything that happens to you, how you're going to approach other people around you and all the stuff that goes on when you're an inverse paranoid. Wow. What he's done is summarized in a nutshell over 20 years of research. He's summarized in over 20 years of research what it takes to be a successful person. All right, make a note, write it down, put it on your dashboard. If I want to be a successful person, the first thing I have to do is I have developed a characteristic of optimism. And I have to make sure that I am optimistic 100% of the time. Your level of optimism is the very best predictor of how happy you're going to be in life, of how healthy and wealthy, and you know what? Even how long you're going to live. The more optimistic and the more positive you are, the more energy you're going to have, the more enthusiastic you're going to be about yourself and your life and your immune system. Oh, there's that phrase again. Your immune system, both your physical and your mental immune system, will be stronger and more resistant to disease, more resistant to depression, more resistant to negative thinking. You will seldom be sick. You will get along with less sleep, and you will have more mental and physical energy throughout the day. The more optimistic you are, the more creative you will be in everything you do as well. You will constantly come up with great ideas. You will be an idea machine. You will recognize new possibilities everywhere you turn, and it will help you move even faster towards your goals. Your goals are the things that you will be thinking about most of the time. Now compare that to what we were talking about, how most unsuccessful people think. They think about the people that they can blame for their problems. They think about who they're mad at. That's what unsuccessful people think about, who they're mad at all the time, and ways in which they think they might be able to get back at them. What a waste of time and a waste of your most precious resource, your brain. What a waste. Wow. In addition, as if we needed more, in addition to that, your determination your determination to become a more optimistic person in every part of your life will do even more to ensure your success and happiness than any other single quality than you can develop. Anything else? Your determination to focus and become more positive, more optimistic, to become an inverse paranoid. That's what you need to do. You need to become an inverse paranoid. I think that your level of optimism can be equated with your level of mental fitness. Now, this form of mental fitness can be developed by practicing certain mental exercises, certain things that you can do over and over until you automatically respond in a positive and constructive way to anything that happens to you. Now, you can always count on me. You can always count on me right here on the Power Hour to give you these exercises, because I'm into exercise. Physical exercises, push-ups, mountain climbers, frog leaps, kickbacks, all that kind of stuff. But I'm just as much into mental exercises. And we've got a mental fitness program that I'm going to start introducing to you after our break. A 7-part mental fitness program, or ways of thinking. Things that people who are sincere about being a successful person, who are sincere about bringing out the best in themselves. I know the fabulous Natasha is interested in that, because I know her, and I know what she's thinking about. I know she's looking for ways to improve her life always, to become a happier, more productive person. I know that's true of her. And I know that's how I think. And I always attract people to me who are thinking much in the same way that I am. Oh, I hear that. Eric's way of telling me, clock on the wall says it's the bottom of the hour. It's 29 minutes past the hour, guys and gals. My name is Mac Newton. You're listening to the Power Hour, and our musical guest host is the fabulous George Benson, along with the Count Basie Orchestra. We meet here at the Power Hour every Thursday at 5 p.m., just right after getting home. Get the family together and sit down and have a little chat with me before dinner. Mac Nude. We're listening to George Benson play guitar. You guys stay right where you are, and we will be right back in just a few seconds, right after these messages from our sponsor. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton, and the Power Hour is brought to you by www.macnewton.com, the website where people who are thinking go to get more inspiration and motivation to live their lives. www.macnewton.com is a destination website, a place where people will go where they want to download thoughts for today. Go there and pick out a topic that you can share with friends and have conversations with your children around the dinner table at night. Instead of sitting around here and talking about all the things that are not working, let's sit around the dinner table and talk about things that work. Talk about the stuff you want to do. Turn off the television once in a while and engage in conversation. That's a thought. And www.macnewton is a place where you can get controversial ideas and things that stimulate your mind and encourage you to talk, not just text someone or email, but to have face-to-face communication, that you can communicate. It's also a place that can inspire you to find out what's important to you. What are the things you dream about and think about? What would you love to be possible for you in your life? Go to www.macnewton.com for some ideas. If you don't know where to start, that's the place to start. You can pick up books that will enhance your mindset. Pick up the book, A Path to Power. I wrote this book in 1997, and it's just as effective today as it was the day it was published. The D Factor, another example. Go to Mac Newton On and download essays that you can share with friends. Stick up on your refrigerator to inspire you. Put on your dashboard to make sure you remember to say, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. As I said, www.macnewton.com. Make it a destination website for you and tell your friends about it.
Let me tell you a little story about me and my baby.
But it's great. Hey, welcome back, gang.
Walking my baby back home.
Must be talking about me and the fabulous Natasha. Tell you a story about me and my baby. Welcome back, gang. We go along harmonizing. You're listening to our musical guest host, George Benson. Ooh. And the Count Basie Orchestra. Are people giving you the eye when you're out walking, Natasha? Come on, tell the truth.
I think so.
Ooh.
I'm blushing now.
I think we can all hear that. For those of you in the Philippines or in England, you'll never have the opportunity, but the fabulous Natasha, she climbs Squaw Peak once or twice a week. Can't tell you when. Maybe if you get lucky, you'll spot her going up or coming down. Oh, hey gang, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. If nothing else, we have fun. We gotta have some fun in the midst of all this stuff, don't you? Okay. All right, you know, George Benson, you know, a lot of people don't know that George Benson was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Did you know that, Eric? He was born in Pittsburgh?
I did not know that.
Yeah, no. He was born in Pittsburgh. A lot of great artists were born in Pittsburgh. So was Wes Montgomery, I believe, born in Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah, Wes Montgomery was born in Pittsburgh. And the similarities between those two people. I think that in the email, one of these emails I got, someone mentioned that they were just getting involved, or they decided to check out Lou Rawls last week. Who sent me an email on that? Okay, well, I can't find it right now. It may have been, let's see here. Okay, well, I can't find it right now. Well, if you want to really check out somebody, check out George Benson. Boy, he's got an amazing collection of music, and it's all fabulous to listen to. I remember when he established his reputation as a great guitarist. He was playing with Jack McDuff, and he was playing with a lot of different great musicians, and everyone wanted him to just play guitar and not sing. Well, you know what people don't understand? He was a singer before he started playing guitar. He was a singer first. He used to sing on the street corners in Pittsburgh before he started playing. And he started playing because his father was like an amateur guitarist, and he bought him a ukulele. And his dad taught him how to play a ukulele, and from there, well, the rest is history. I mean, he's self-taught, and even to this day, I mean, it's amazing to sit and play with him, as I've had the pleasure of doing in numerous times. I mean, he can be playing in one key and singing in another, and tell you he's going to bring them close together. Oh, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. His ear is incredible, and he can make a guitar sound like a bagpipes.
Yeah,
he's just amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just
cool.
He's an amazing musician, and so but he likes to brag. Well, you know, I don't really read music, you know. Read music. You have music in your head, George. You don't need to read music.
Yeah.
You can hear a note and you can tell me exactly what it is. I mean, gosh, he's a genius in terms when it comes to music. So anyway, check out George Benson as if he needs checking out. But if it's not in your musical Rolodex, put him there. You'll become a big fan like I am. Let's get back to where we left off on. We were talking about tapping into your most precious resource, your mind. And I promised you that we're going to start in our second half of the show today, the 7-part mental fitness workout program. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get through this, but it doesn't matter. That's the one thing we have plenty of time here on the Power Hour. We have plenty of time. There are seven mental exercises or ways of thinking, however you want to look at it, that you can learn and practice every day to become more positive, more optimistic, more confident. And I think the more you think in these ways, the better you're going to feel, the more in control of your life you're going to feel. You're going to feel that you can accomplish more, and you'll also be able to accomplish it faster, and you'll be able to accomplish it easier. Number one, the first and most important attitude you can practice to get the most out of yourself is a thinking process that Brian Tracy likes to call future orientation. What does that mean? Future orientation is another of the most common characteristics of successful people, successful men and women. Whenever you find successful people who rise to positions of leadership and have great responsibility, whether it's in society, whether it's in work, whether it's in their personal lives, they all have this ability to see the future. They are visionaries. All leaders, great leaders, have vision. They think ahead. In over almost 3,500 studies of leadership, seeking the one common denominator, the one common quality possessed by great leaders down through the ages, researchers have found that the one quality that all of these leaders had in common was vision. All great leaders are visionaries. They see the future. Non-leaders don't do it. They don't do it. Leaders have a vision of a better future for themselves, their families, their organizations. They can see an ideal future in advance, all perfectly laid out in their mind. They then work to make it a reality in the real world. That is the most important attitude that you can practice starting right now. You can start practicing your ability to visualize what you want to happen. You have to get it to where you can hold it clearly in color in your mind and see it. And once you get it to that point, that means that you really believe that you can be it, have it, or do it. Future-oriented people think about the future most of the time. That's what successful people do who are future-oriented. They think about where they're going rather than where they've been. They think about what is possible in the weeks, months, and years ahead, rather than thinking about what has already happened in the past and cannot be changed. Unfortunately, probably fewer than 10% of all the people in our society are genuinely future-oriented. The vast majority, by far, are all primarily concerned with either what's happening right now, the present, or immediate gratification of what's going on right now, that this day or this evening, or about the past and what's ever, and what has already happened. In fact, there's even with worry. The main thing that people worry about, well over 50%, are things that have already happened. Yeah. How can you tell whether a person is future oriented or not? Simply ask him or her this simple question. If your life was perfect 5 years from now, what would it look like? Now, future-oriented people can give you an immediate answer to that question. If your life was perfect 5 years from now, what would it look like? Well, if you ask a person who's not future-oriented, just going to make them upset. They're going to get mad. They're going to say something like, how do you expect me to tell what's going to happen 5 years from now? I don't have a clue. I don't know. Future-oriented people, they've already visualized what they think was going to happen 5 years from now. They're already thinking about it. They're already planning it out. They already see it. They know what it's going to look like when they get there. They're not surprised. Future-oriented people are very clear about what they want their lives to look like 5 years from now. Future-oriented people can tell you what they want and what they're working toward. And that vision gives them passion, gives them energy. It inspires them. It's that vision itself that pushes them along. Albert, do you know what I'm talking about here? Albert, this is key. It's that vision. It's that picture in their mind. They can tell you where they're going and why they want to go there. Unsuccessful people can't tell you that. They're vague. They're fuzzy about the future. They seldom think about the future in detail. They have generalities. I want things to stay the same, but get a little better maybe, you know. You know, I want to have, you know, maybe I'll do a little of this and maybe I'll do a little of that. Well, what the heck does that mean? That's very vague. Future-oriented people are specific. I'm looking for a house on a hilltop that's about a mile and a half to 2 miles from the ocean. I want it to have a tile roof. I want to have a yard with a large patio in front, maybe with a small fence behind it. I want a carport, not a garage, a carport. I want one car to be a Jeep. I want the other one to be the... They didn't tell you exactly what they want it to look like. Because they've already been there. They've already seen it. They're sending that same picture to the universe. That's the most important characteristic. But unfortunately, fewer than 10% of the people in our society are genuinely future-oriented. That means over 90% aren't. That's amazing. That is amazing. Future-oriented people can tell you why they want to go there. They have clear mental images of what they desire for their work. They have clear mental images of what they desire for their income, what they desire for their families, their lifestyle, their health, their levels of achievement, blah, 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 for the years ahead. They can tell you, you ask them on a topic, they'll tell you. And you should be able to do the same. You should have to ask that same question of yourself. What kind of answer are you going to come up with? When you're a past-oriented person, like I said, they're vague, they're fuzzy. They seldom think in detail. They will get upset and angry if you ask them to describe their goals in detail, especially future goals. They might tell you what they're going to do this afternoon. The NBA season starts now. I'm going to watch that game. They don't know anything beyond that. Well, I might check it out too. I heard it on the radio and stuff. But, you know, You understand what I'm talking about here? You know, that's in this respect, clarity is very, very important. Successful people have tremendous clarity about who they are, about what they want, and how they're going to get it. Unsuccessful people are usually unsure and just confused about who they are. I don't know what's going on in my mind. I don't know what I'm thinking. I can't clarify anything. I can't get it right. I don't know what I want. Don't ask me what I want. I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want. Please figure out what you want, people. Figure out what you want. What exactly is it you want? I mean, where do you want to go? You got to tell the world what you want before the universe can give it to you. So clarity becomes a very important point. You got to have vision and you got to have clarity. Okay. All right. So we're talking about the most important thing right now. Future orientation. That's number one. You know, how can you tell when you're improving? Well, it's one of those kind of things. How do you tell when you're hungry? You can feel it. How do you tell when you're thirsty? You have a thirst instinct that tells you that you're thirsty. It's kind of the same thing here. Once you're getting better at visualization, now when you first start, what's going to happen is you'll try to think about it. It'll come into your mind and it'll go away. It'll come in, it'll flash about, it'll go away. Maybe you'll have a dream about it, but you can't remember it completely. You kind of got an idea. You try to explain it to someone, you can't. Can't even write it down completely. But you're thinking, you get a vision, you see it. And the more you try to hold that vision in your mind, the more you hold it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you hold it. The more you hold it, the more you believe it. And finally, bam, it just pops. And it's there. And you can see it. It's like looking at a picture. Like a real picture in real life. You can see it. Now you're starting to believe it. Once you can hold it in your mind, once you can hold that image clear as a bell, you believe you can have it, you believe you can do it, you believe you have what it takes to make it happen. That's how you know. So that's how I want you to start to do that right now. Okay. Another powerful exercise you can practice that will help. I don't like to use the word supercharge sometimes because it's a word that people don't understand. But I say it, when I say supercharge your life, I mean, I'm not talking about taking an energy drink and getting all fired up for the next 15 minutes. When I say supercharge your life, I'm talking about getting a goal, getting something that supercharges you for the next week, for the next month, that every time your eyes are awake and you're not sleeping, this thought pops into your head. Now, here's a powerful exercise that you can practice to help supercharge your thinking and to accelerate the results that you're going to get. And it's called idealization. Now, when you do this, you're continually imagining the perfect outcome of this solution for any situation in your life. You're imagining it working out perfectly well. You project forward those 5 years, 3 to 5 years. Okay, let's not be too 3 to 5 years. Or if you like, even further. And then you're going to create a mental picture of the kind of life and career that would be ideal for you in every respect. I mean, while you are visualizing and idealizing your perfect future, you should let your mind just kind of flow free. You imagine for the moment that you have no limitations whatsoever on what you can do, what you can be, and what you can have. Imagine that you have all the knowledge, all the experience that you need. Imagine that you have all the money, all the resources that you need. Imagine that you have all the contacts. You have all the friends that you need. Imagine that all the opportunities, all the possibilities are open to you. Imagine that if you can dream it, you can do it. It's at this point that most people start to talk negatively to themselves and say, yeah, you know, that sounds good and all that, but I don't really want to set myself up for a disappointment, so I don't want to go there. I don't want to start going big. You know, you got to go big. You got to go bold. Boldness has magic in it. You can't go small. You know, if I'm going to go to jail for robbing a store, it's not going to be some 7-Eleven down the street with $511 in this. I'm going to go to jail for robbing Citibank with five. You know what I'm talking? I'm going to go big. Now, I don't advocate robbing anything. That's just an example I'm using here. Okay?
Yeah, you might want to put a caveat on that.
Exactly. I'm not advertising. You know, don't go robbing anything because it's going to end up you being in jail. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to go big. Go big, for goodness sakes. Get your thoughts big, huge. Get your mind around that. Now, imagine that, okay, develop a dream list. Develop a dream list. What's that? Well, that's a list where you write down everything that you would like to have in your life sometime in the future. Things that you dream about. Now, you want to write them down as if your goals are guaranteed in some way. If only you would be clear about them, but you got to write them down clearly. Now, you got to say to yourself, if I've got the courage to write this down, it will happen. If I write it down, it can happen. But you got to write it down. You got to write it down. It's a dream list. Write it down. Write down everything you would like to have in your life, or even your work life, your profession, sometime in the future, as if your goals are guaranteed. Now, if you're married, you want to sit down and you want to and discuss this with your spouse to help make up this dream list. You want to make it together. What would we do? How would we change our lives if we won $10 million in the lottery, tax-free, tomorrow? What would we do? If you had all the time and money that you wanted, and you could be or have anything at all in your life, what would you really want? The greater clarity that you can achieve in describing your ideal future, the more likely you are to create that future for yourself and your spouse right now, and faster than you can imagine it. Right now. Right now. You can't hit a target you can't see. Start right now. Clarity is the key. Clarity is the key. Vision is the key. Clarity is essential. You've got to be clear on this one point. You know, I when I start discussing this in this way, Eric, I get excited about it, because, you know, this is the way that I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm set the world on fire in my life, but I, you know, from the place from which I've come, you could not tell me just as recently as 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that I would be living the life that I am today. And it's only when I start talking with men like Brian Tracy, and Brian would share with me some of these secrets, and I would write them down, and he would share these secrets of life with me. The same way I've learned secrets of martial arts, the secrets of self-defense, the secrets of movements. There are secrets of thinking. That's why I titled this portion, How to Think Like a Winner. How to Think Like a Winner. Winners think a certain way, and I start thinking that way, and I get excited about not just what has been possible for me in the past, but what's possible for me right now? What's possible for me in the future? And that's why I love doing this show. That's why I love doing this show, because it forces me to think about the stuff I want to think about. I want to think about the stuff I want to do. So many people will get to a certain point in their lives and they think, well, my life's over. You know what you have to do? You got to stay hungry. You got to stay hungry. You can't give up on the stuff. You got to stay hungry. I remember when I first came here, I was about 9 years old, and my cousin Johnny was dying of emphysema. He was maybe 15 years older than I. He had started smoking at a very young age. And you know, I'm like 9 years old, and I don't know if you've ever seen anyone sick with emphysema, but it's not a nice way to pass away. It's ugly. And I was listening to the conversation in the room, and like I said, I was brand new. I was just listening. And it came out in the conversation that what Johnny's wanted to be in his life, as he's now breathing his last final breaths of life, he said that what he really wanted to do was become a railroad engineer. I remember him saying that. He wanted to drive a train. He went to drive train. And I was thinking to myself, am I the only person in this room who's getting this? Why isn't someone saying, let's get this guy off of his bed and carry him and get him behind the wheel of a train? Let's let him drive a train 10 feet. Let him drive it for 10 seconds. Don't let him die without doing the one thing in his life he wanted to do. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm 9 years old and I was thinking about that. You gotta stay hungry for your passion. You gotta have a dream list, okay? You gotta have a dream list of stuff that's really important for you. What do you really want? You gotta stay hungry for it. Wow. Well, you know what? It's that very way of thinking that brought me to doing the things I do today. To brought me to opening my very first Taekwondo center, to get me to leave a job that was one of the top jobs that ever anyone in sales could ever want in America, working for one of the top corporations in the world, Baxter Travenaugh, that a job that certainly I wasn't qualified to get. I'd just fallen into a situation and gotten lucky and I'd gotten this job. But nonetheless, I left that job to open up my first Taekwondo studio because that was what I wanted. I didn't want to end up like Johnny. And I didn't, but I could have. Johnny had worked most of his life in the post office. He worked in the post office because someone told him, you get a job in the post office and you can't lose it. You have it for life. Yeah, well, he had his job for life. Well, how long was his life? But you know what? He didn't have any happiness. Sure, he didn't get fired, but he never drove his train. And to this day, that just drives me insane. How can you live your life without playing your music, without writing your words, without doing what you were put here to do? You got to do something. Got to do it for a minute. Now, it's true. The Taekwondo portion, where I used to kick basketball rims and things like that, that's over. I don't do that anymore. But I've done it. And oh, Eric, I did it. And it was bright, and it was luxurious, and it was fabulous. And you know, I'm moving on to something else. I found that I have other gifts that I can open. I found that I have other things that I can do that I feel as passionately about. That's part of me, part of my dream list. What's yours? What is your dream list? If you're just tuning in, my name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour, and this is the stuff we talk about. And I hope you get as fired up as I am about these topics and as fired up about your lives, fired up about what's important to you and your family, your spouse, your children, your future. Yeah, let's think about that. What does it mean to be a winner? Everybody wants to be one. And everyone can be one. Everyone, well, if it's got to be a winner, it's got to be a loser. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. Everyone can be winners. Everyone can be a winner. What you do when you're a winner is you do what's important right now. W-I-N. What's important now? That's what being a winner truly means. Johnny wasn't a winner. He didn't do what was important now. It was far more important for him to take a job driving a train or just being on that train, even though the job wasn't secure, than having a secure job that brought him no satisfaction. There's no security anyway. You know, Fabulous Natasha, you know that. I've talked to you about it often. There's nothing secure in the world. I've talked to you about that, haven't I?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There's only opportunity. There's opportunity. There is no security. And in seeking security, we push opportunity to the side. You got to go for opportunity. You got to do the things. What's on your dream list? But before you can do it, you got to make one. You got to make a dream list. This show really summarizes the Power Hour. This is it, gang. You get used to it because this is going to be every Thursday at 5 o'clock. This is it. If you don't want to be confronted face first just like this, if you don't want to have to be strapped down in your chair because the vibration and the turbulence is going to be unbelievable, don't tune in. But if you want something like that, tell your friends. Every Thursday at 5 o'clock, www.macnewton.com. Tune in here live and then come back later on to listen to it again, because if you really want to get it, you got to listen to it again. You got to listen to it again and again and again and again. My gosh, is this show gone already? Whew, I can't blame Eric for this one because there's an hour clock on the wall, but it's telling us that it's time to go. Wow, what a show. Take me out back and hose me down, gang. It's great to be back. It really is. And Eric, we're proud to have you behind the glass, man. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
We're going to see you again next week. And the fabulous Natasha, wow, that's all I can say.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we'll be back here again next week, I tell you. We only got 30 seconds left today. I want you guys to be true to yourself, which means let your words and your behaviors match. And as always, I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock, Pat McMahon, JC up in San Fran, you know, and all of you guys out there who are listening all around the world now. My name is Mac Newton, and this has been the Power Hour. Peace. The Mac Daddy is out. Green Dolphin Street.